over and over and over and over again. Yeah. You're gonna mess me up, girl. Yeah. Over and over and over again we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Church, God is on the move. I just feel like maybe I'm just supposed to encourage you a little bit today. It's like, you know, there's like, I feel like there's people being pressed in on every side. I just want you to know, no matter what's happening in your life, it doesn't change who He is. It doesn't change who He is. It doesn't change what He says. It doesn't change what He's declared over you as a believer, a son and daughter. So today, as we gather together, we've gathered just in taking a moment just to celebrate this amazing country that God has given us. Amen? How many are thankful for the United States? Those that I've run across are here whine and complain. I'm like, well, why don't you just go ahead and move? Nobody's holding you down, right? I'll say that first service. So I won't get into it the next service. But I'm convinced that without God, we can do very little. But with God, all things are possible. And I also want to declare over you that with God, He's given us the ability through the power of His Word to speak to the very mountains that stand in front of us and tell them to be moved in Jesus' name. It's time we step into what He paid for. This morning, we fix our eyes on the Father, who is the beginning and the end, thanking Him for His promises and for teaching us how to stand on them. Amen? We thank Him that even in a season of uncertainty, is there anybody else just kind of fed up with news? It's like, save them all, Lord. Oh, well, that's the other thing. I won't talk about that next service either. I'm thankful today that we serve a God who never changes. And I want to declare over you and over the those within the sound of my voice, and even as it carries throughout the sound waves this morning, that You, O God, are the hope of the nations. And we put our trust in You. I believe what we need to do is to let the Father just begin, even this morning. I just sensed it all morning long, just to recalibrate our hearts and our minds so that we can begin once again to start believing that God is for us. He is not against us. We need to remind ourselves that in a moment of weakness, His Word declares over us, we are strong. I think it's also important that we remember that we need to take responsibility for where we are. Instead of continually evaluating ourselves as the victim of circumstances. That's a real good word, brother. We need to become the one who is the influencer of the atmospheres around us, and we're to influence with faith and hope. The truth is, those who have the most hope have the most influence. And I've watched that the last few weeks as we have stepped into neighborhoods, into people's yards, into people's lives, because we're carrying hope, we've had the most influence in their life. I believe the key for us this morning and in our walk with God is we need to posture our hearts in such a way that even in the middle of our conflicts, we do not allow the circumstances to deny the very promises that God has spoken into your life. And I'm so glad that we serve a God who has a reputation of breaking into the impossible situations of our life and reversing the very effects of them. I also believe that we need to realize it's very easy for us to realize the seriousness of our day. But church, we must never react or respond out of fear. The kingdom of God is all about stewarding of the heart, stewarding what he's given. And when I think about that, I can't help but think about the way we struggle with the way we think and the way we respond. Because the enemy doesn't care what side of an issue we are on as long as our reaction is as wrong as the issue. You can pick your battles. We can look at this United States and whine and complain. It's about time we stop complaining about what's happening in our world and start speaking to those things, praying into them. Prayer is the secret key. We pray for, not at. There's a big difference. How many of you have found yourself praying at people? God, you got to fix them. They are so messed up. The way they think, the way they do. Instead of saying, God, you just... One touch from you changes everything. A wrapping of the arms like he did this morning as we just enjoyed his amazing presence shifts everything. Recalibrates the heart. We must remember that we're not supposed to reflect our culture, church. We've been called to transform it. So today I want to release this quote. I just felt it was so appropriate. Today I just want to ask again, where are the people? Where are the people like Joseph who became a father to the Pharaohs? The answer is they're sitting right in front of us. You're in this room. Who became fathers to the Pharaohs of the world to see whole nations fall into the hands of God. If he did it before, he can do it again. What happened to the Elijahs who confronted kings and changed history with a prophetic proclamation? What has become of people like Daniel, who stood in the courts of four worldly kings and won the most powerful nations of their time to God? Why aren't the Nehemiahs around rebuilding the walls and cities? Why is it that giants such as abortion, homosexuality, racism, crime, corruption, keep going on and on, are continually allowed to roam the earth and wreak havoc on the children of God and on people all around us? The truth is, church, we have been called to teach the nations how to stop the giants in the world. How to teach that we've been called to teach the nations how to prosper in famines. To rebuild cities and restore fathers to the lost children. As I think about that, and I think about the weightedness of father this morning on that just reaffirming that call. I'm completely convinced, church, if we don't take our place in the kingdom of God, God will once again begin to reassign the things that he's asked us as his children to do. So as I think about all that, I think about a time in history in his word. And I want to take you back to 1 Kings for just a few moments. And I want to talk about this great man, Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, it starts out by saying, Elijah came near to all the people and said to them, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? What had happened was what we call as the supernatural showdown. 400 prophets of Baal and 450 other prophets gathered together. And Elijah stood in front of the people and said, listen, how long will you hesitate? How long will you continue to hesitate between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. And what jumped off the pages to me is, and I've read this several times, and I know you have too, but the people did not answer him a word. When I began to think about that, I began to ask him, Father, what is it that would cause people to get to a place and a walk with you that they could stare at blatant sin and not say a word? They could get to a place where they had to make a decision between Jehovah and Baal. And the Word of God says, and they didn't say a word. What happened? How did it happen? Because they started living a life of complacency. They began to enjoy the blessings of the Lord to the place where it became their God. They begin to worship idols. They begin to worship other gods. So I ask you this morning, when God blesses you, do you stay home on the weekends to enjoy the boat instead of come to church? Hello, easy. I know, I got the easy for my wife. It's not all about coming to church because you are the church. But there's something about a corporate anointing when we come together that breaks the yoke of anything that's demonic. Verse 30, Elijah says to the people, come to me. He allowed the prophets to go on all day. And even the Word of God tells he was sitting there just even poking fun at him. Where's your God now? How come he's not listening? Is he sleeping? Did he take a vacation? Verse 30, Elijah said to the people, come near to me. So the people came near to him. I want you to know, if you're going to see the deep and the secret things of God, you're going to have to draw near to the Father. There's going to have to be a pulling away of the things in life that is taking and distracting us. So Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God. We all know that God showed up, showed off, consumed the altar. But I want to take and just go back just a few minutes now because I don't have time to read all that. I want to point out a few things that took place while Elijah was in this moment. The first thing he did is he repaired the altar. I believe with all my heart. We spent the last 2 weeks and we've done this for years now, 3 or 4 years, going and doing good deeds and helping people and doing all these things. Amazing. I never want to discount that. In fact, I want to see that happen even more. But the thing that I believe that the church is overlooking is the secret key that he's given to us as believers is we're doing good works, but we're not spending as much time praying into the good works that are being done. Good works are great. We need to bless people. We need to do everything we can to help people. That's his word. That's his heart. But church, what we've got to do is, by us coming into agreement with Holy Spirit and beginning to pray, we're going to see the shifts that we need to take place. How many of you find you listen, you see things going on in county governments or whatever, and you find yourself saying, well, I don't know why they're doing this, or I don't know why you're doing that. What they need is they don't know what to do. My goodness, the world is a mess. The only way people can fix things is the inspiration of Holy Spirit come upon them to allow them to think like they can't think on their own. How does that happen? When the church begins to pray and God bless. Do what the Word of God's. You know, we love heaven on earth, heaven invading earth. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The truth is, if we just focus on that, we miss the very first thing that he told us. What'd he say? You must pray. For his kingdom to come, his will be done, you need to pray. Our country is not going to change because of good intent or a different president. Our city just won't get better because we do a few things. But when we get together and start bombarding the kingdom of heaven with our prayers, God, hear our prayer. Give those who make decisions wisdom. How about we stop cursing them and start blessing them? Those of you that know the people that are involved in our city and in the government of our city from the to the higher parts, they're not doing it because they're banking all this money. If you knew what the mayor made, it's like, wow, I don't know how you give that much time and thinking that, because they genuinely care about a city, about a people. We care about it. But the thing is, we've got to take the next step, church. We've got to step into what God's calling us. God is saying, listen, yeah, we can do all the things in the natural, but when we combine the natural with the supernatural, then we're going to start seeing the kingdom of God advance on all fronts. We need to be praying through. Amen? If we do this, his promises are unbelievable. And I love how Jeremiah puts it. And I think I share this scripture with you almost every time this year. Jeremiah chapter 33. See, God looks, how many of you know that God sees things a little differently than we see? It doesn't quite look the same to him as to us. Now, I'm going to read this, but I'm going to pull a few words. I'm going to interject a few words. But I love how Jeremiah, the Lord of God, just breathed on Jeremiah and he wrote this. But now take another look, it starts. What can happen in a city that is completely influenced by the presence of God? Right here. Now take another look. I'm going to give this city a thorough renovation. I'm going to begin working true healing inside and out. I'm going to show them life whole. Life brimming with blessing. I'm going to restore everything that was lost. He's going to restore everything that was lost to you, Washington, Pennsylvania, the United States of America, and to the other parts of the world. I'll build everything back as good as new. This is the influence of Holy Spirit on a region when a group of people begin to pray into the things that are on God's heart. I'll scrub them clean from the dirt that they've done against me. I'll forgive everything they've done. Forgive all their rebellions. This city wants to hold on to a rebellion. God's birthed something different in this city. I'll forgive all the rebellions. And Washington will be a center of joy and praise and glory for all, I'm not going to say countries, for all the counties. Come on, let's bring it down home. For all the counties on the earth. They'll get reports on all the good I'm doing to her. They'll be in all the blessings I'm pouring out on her. I believe it's time for the body of Christ to rise up and to receive our inheritance. We must rid ourselves of complacency and restore the ancient boundaries of holiness and the demonstrations of great power through the Holy Spirit. I believe with all my heart that our best days are ahead of us. With God, everything can turn around. See, he could do it all by himself, but he chooses to co-labor with us, his children, because he wants to do it through us, because of the Holy Spirit that's within us. And I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture in Psalms. And I have it in the translation, the Passion. I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to ask that you would stand with me. This is a declaration I want to release over you as the body of Christ today. If we're going to get to a place in our walk with him, that we're going to begin to see the things that he put on our hearts, the things we're praying into. Some things are going to have to shift in our mindsets. So in order for that to change, I think it starts with just the simplicity of knowing God's heart on a situation. Starts out by saying Psalms 24, God claims the world as his. You see, everything and everyone belongs to him. He's the one who pushed back the oceans to let the dry land appear, planting firm foundations for the earth. So wake up. So wake up, you living gateways. Lift up your heads. You ageless doors of destiny. Oh. When we lift our head, what we can't help but notice is, this next part says, welcome the King of Glory, for he is about to come. He is about to come through you. You ask, who is this King of Glory? The Lord armed and ready for battle. The mighty one, invincible in every way. So again I say, so wake up, you living gateways. And rejoice. Fling wide your ageless doors of destiny. For here he comes. The King of Glory. is ready to come in. So, Father, we thank you today for this amazing country that you've given us the honor to live in. We thank you for our freedoms, that we could stand here and declare that there is no one like Jehovah. We thank you, Lord, that when we start talking about how you love a city, we can't help but be overwhelmed with your love for a city. Help us to see her like you do. Help us to love her like you do. We declare that we are lifting our heads and we are inviting the King of Glory to come into Washington. And we declare even next weekend that the power of the Holy Spirit would so rest upon that gathering place. God, if you did it 10,000 with 10,000 people gathering in a field, you can do it with 600 people getting under a pavilion. Come. Come, oh Lord Jesus. Begin to move like you moved before. We speak to those wells of revival. Be opened in Jesus' name. Spring forth over this dry and thirsty land. We thank you, God, that you have begun to do something in the supernatural that someday when we catch a glimpse of, we'll be completely overwhelmed with. So we declare that you love this region. We declare you love this United States of America, the world. And we ask God that as the waters cover the sea, that the glory of God would once again begin to cover the earth. Hey. So we lift our heads. We invite you in. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you for what you've begun, you're doing. I thank you, Lord, that when you look at us, you don't look at what we've done. You look at who we are becoming. I thank you, Father, for complete restoration. And I thank you for what you're doing here this morning. So, Father, I thank you that as we have spent these few moments together, you have begun to restore hope. Hopelessness must go from this place. In Jesus' name. If you find yourself today here, being here, and you just don't have any hope, I want you to come forward. We want to pray with you. If you find yourself here this morning being overwhelmed with depression or being overwhelmed with anxiety, I want you to come. We want to pray with you. Today's the day of deliverance. Today's the beginning of something brand new, I believe. I talked to someone this morning, and he says, I really feel like God is wanting to birth something fresh and new this morning. And I was just like, amen and amen. I agree with that in my spirit. But it's going to take the body of Christ stepping into her destiny to see these things take place. And the key, church, the key, don't overlook this. The key to our success as believers in Christ is the power that he has given us in prayer. Prayer changes everything. Amen? So if you're here this morning, you want prayer, we want to pray with you. I bless you today in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I speak increase over your life. Abundance to overtake you. So that you can be a blessing to those that are around you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. If you would like some prayer, we'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Have a great 4th of July. We'll see you next week. Yeah.